everybody. This is Dr. Miguel Gonzalez. Thank you once again for joining us this week. This is Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. We will pick up today where we left off, and we are, yes, going to continue to talk about the principle of service. This will be our last message within that principle. We'll kind of recap what we've said the last 2 weeks so that we can keep this whole thing in context. If you've been following our messages, you know that we've been working our way through our series entitled The Pursuit of Christ. I believe we have two principles left to look at, not to say that this is an exhaustive list of principles, but these are key principles that if they are exemplified in our life, they will demonstrate that our passion in life is indeed that of pursuing Christ. If you think of it, what in the world could possibly be more important, of greater blessing, than pursuing Jesus? Unless you have indeed forgotten who Jesus is, and you have forgotten what it is that Jesus has done for you. Last week we looked at three things about what service should be. We said that it should be enthusiastic. We looked at a number of passages. We said that service should be relational, and we said that service should be expectant. The week before that, we said that service should be sacrificial, and it should be real. We'll be looking at two more things service should be. I want to remind you that the reason why we ought to serve Christ in the first place, it should be because we continually remember who He is and what He has done for us. None of us can ever begin to imagine what it was like for Christ to offer Himself in our place on that cross. We will never understand ultimately the cost to Christ to save us. We will never fully understand, because our finite minds will simply not allow us to. We will simply not understand how it is that a God powerful enough to create us by speaking us into existence, would be willing to die on a cross to save sinners. But that is indeed what Jesus has done, and that is indeed who Jesus is. Now, we've looked in the past, when we started looking at this principle, we looked at a number of passages that clearly told us that we ought to serve the Lord. I won't spend time looking at those passages again, because I want to actually spend more time looking at service from the perspective of it being a passion, something that we want to do out of our love and gratefulness to God for what He has done for us. Salvation is just the beginning of the blessings that come to the Christian as a result of their relationship to Jesus. Every single moment of your life, from the time you entered into that personal relationship with Christ, every single moment of your life is a life comprised of blessings from God. Even though we may not always see it that way, God is always with us, looking out for us, and doing the things that are in our best interest. We often don't see them because life gets in the way. We allow things to distract us from the areas that we ought to be focusing in, and that is on our relationship with Jesus. I do want to share a couple passages in closing that go back to talking about some of the things that we will be looking forward to as a result of our service as we close this message. But I want to go back and share the two last points that I had here in terms of what service should be. Service should be dependent. There are a couple passages I want to look at here. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to John chapter 15, And I want to look at verse specifically, verse 5. John 15, verse 5. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And nothing in this passage means nothing. Certainly, we question how we are to interpret that, since certainly even those who don't have a personal relationship with Jesus can seem to do things. We're talking about service, and we're talking about doing spiritual things that obviously those who are not related to Jesus cannot do because they are alienated from Him, since they are spiritually dead. We cannot do a thing for Christ in terms of real service, service that He calls us to do, ministry work that He calls us to do, unless we are in Him and He is in us. Now the emphasis here is again on dependence. Listen, that's the way it is in many respects in every other area of our walk with Christ. If you sin and you fail to confess your sin and you go to have quiet time with the Lord, it's dry and stale. You know why? Because the Spirit can't really bless you during that quiet time, since there are issues that are still unresolved. If we are not working in obedience with Him and we are not trusting Him for service and depending on Him for service, whatever we do could be absolutely worthless and meaningless. Listen, just because somebody says they're in ministry, and just because the name of the organization has the word ministry in it, or God, or Jesus, or Christian, and just because people seem to be very busy doing work for God, doesn't mean that they're really serving Him. Now, that's very important to understand, because you or I could be that individual who are working and working and working and claiming all along to be doing God's business, while all along we're not doing anything in terms of service for Him, because we are not dependent in Him. Listen to the words of Christ again. I am the vine, you are the branches. Perfect illustration to make the point He's attempting to make. The branches depend on the vine for life. In this case, for service, but certainly for life as well. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and notice that a man must remain in him, and I in him, and this is talking about fellowship. If I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. If I've been born again, I'm born again. If I'm a child of God, I'm a child of God. But just because I'm those things doesn't mean that I can serve God. This is talking about constant fellowship with Him, walking side by side, unhindered by anything with Jesus. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Listen. Fruit bearing is the direct result of constant, consistent, daily fellowship with Jesus. Apart from me, meaning no fellowship, no daily, consistent, constant walk with Him, causes you to have the ability to do nothing. This is what Jesus says. So we're saying that service should be dependent. Now I want to look at another passage in relation to this point. 1 Peter chapter 4. And I want to look at verse 10. listen to what Peter says. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things, listen, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Now, I want to point out a couple things so that you don't miss what Peter is saying here. He says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If a person is going to speak the words of God, that person must be dependent upon God for those very words, for those very words to have impact and meaning and be able to touch the heart of a person and change a person's life. Listen to what he says. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. You see where dependence is being talked about here? You can't serve apart from the strength God gives you to do so. So Peter is in essence confirming in using different words what Jesus said in John 15. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to do anything for God, you must do it based on the strength that God gives you, being dependent on God's strength in order to do these things. Service does not necessarily mean that it's service for God if you're not walking and depending and relying on God to supply you everything you need in order to render that service. If you're doing it in your own strength, you're doing your own thing. Another thing I want to, and the last point I want to make, service should be selfless. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 20. And we're going to spend a little bit of time in this passage. Matthew chapter 20, and I'm going to read verses 20 through 23 first. You are all familiar with this passage of Scripture. It says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down asked a favor of him, and him is Jesus. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit on my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. What's the point here in terms of selfless? Listen, she's looking out for her sons. We're not going to blame Mrs. Zebedee. She is looking out for her sons. That's what every mother does for their children. But the point Jesus is making here is simple. We should not render service for God just to grab for honor. We ought to serve God with a selfless attitude. It's not what I'm going to gain in the future by my service today. I serve today and keep my sights on today alone. So Jesus' point in this narrative is very simple. We should not be in the business of serving God simply to get something out of it ourselves. We should not be in the business of serving God simply to grab for honor. Well, let's keep going. Let's go back to Matthew 20. Now let's look at verses 25 through 28. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Listen. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Boy, this passage sure does fly in the face of everything we consider to be our priority in terms of why it is that we do what we do and how it is that we define success. In this passage, and clearly stated, Jesus says this, listen, least, are you listening? Least is more. Jesus is saying in this passage that it's all about the attitude. Jesus is saying in this passage that it's all about humility. The humility of Christ. Jesus is saying in this passage that service should be all about priority towards others. This is servant leadership, folks. This is servant leadership. If he could do it, why can't we? If the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of all creation, the omnipotent, the omnipresent, the omniscient, the eternal God of the universe could do it, why can't we? Did you catch the last part of that passage we read? Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Don't miss this, folks. Real service. This is about priorities. Real service is about attitude. It's about humility. It's about letting others be first and you last. It's about being least. It's about being focused on serving others as the priority. Now let's look at a couple of other passages in terms of leadership and service. This time we'll go to John chapter 13. And we'll have to move fairly quickly because we're going to be running out of time. John chapter 13 and verses 3 through 5. Listen to what John says. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Listen, going back to what I just said. Here is the God of the universe. You know very little about that God. Because you see, God can't possibly reveal everything there is to reveal about himself. We just can't handle. We can't handle what he's already revealed about himself. We would never possibly be able to handle what God is. But that God, and let me just give you an illustration. That God to whom you're praying now is the same God that's listening to a fellow believer praying right now on the other side of the world. And he hears both of you as if you were the only one speaking to him. And he focuses on you as if you were the only one he needed to focus on, in spite of the fact that there's two of you doing it with that distance in between. And then add to that that there's millions of others praying at the same time as you and the other person on the other side of the world. And he's being able to dedicate himself to them as if they were all the only persons. This is just to illustrate how big God is. This God is the God who stood up, took a basin with water, knelt down at the disciples' feet, and started washing the feet of those for whom he came to die. You know what? We all have an issue with serving people that way, because it's not dignified. People will say stuff about us if we did that. We will be ridiculed and looked down upon if we did something like that. What arrogance on the part of us. If God could do it, we can do it. That is the picture of servant leadership. Listen now to verses 6 through 10. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Verse 10, Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." Listen. Peter had to be told by Jesus that allowing Jesus to set the example on what servant leadership looked like was something Peter had to learn. And unless he was willing to learn what a Christian looks like, and unless he was allowing God to teach him what his life ought to look like once he's living his life for Christ, he will have no part of Christ. Listen, the point is, again, servant leadership. It's about who we are, who he is, what he has done, the example he has left, and how it is that we should be able to emulate what he has done. Last thing I want to say here is the last three verses I want to read are verses 12 through 15. And let's move real quickly here. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." Listen, don't lose sight of this. That is service for God. It's emulating the example that Jesus has left for us to follow. It doesn't matter what he calls us to do. It doesn't matter how menial we think it is. It's about serving him. Father, we thank you. We praise your holy name in the name of Jesus. Amen.